I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna.
And together, we created the Cogno Movement System. And we'd like to welcome you to the New Life Perspectives Radio Show,
where we're going to be sharing with you tools, tips, and ideas that are going to change your life. Hi, I'm Bill McKenna. I'm here with my friend Liz Larson, the co-creator of Cogno Movement, and we're here on UK Health Radio, ready to talk about a very interesting topic today. And that topic is how our consciousness impacts every relationship around us, and how everybody else's consciousness impacts the relationships around them. And when I say consciousness, what I mean is basically the understanding they've come to, the way that they go through life, what they're feeling, what they're thinking. Everybody ends up being impacted. This is a very interesting thing that I have witnessed throughout my lifetime. I didn't quite understand it. I was more just simply annoyed that, you know, maybe there's a person in my family that, man, they sure do always play the victim. It doesn't matter what, you can pretty much rest assured they play the victim. Or you might be able to relate to this, that when you know there's somebody in your family or your friend circle that when you get in proximity to them, there's going to be a problem. It's just like, I don't know what. You know what? We're going out to dinner tonight. We're going out to dinner tonight. And you know whose meal's going to get jacked up? It was that person. You know who the meal is going to be late? Them. You know who is going to get their toes physically stepped on by the waiter? It's them. You know who's somebody is going to bump their chair? Something's going to happen. And there is going to be an offense. And the night is going to be tainted by that. Now, I use that as an example because I think everybody kind of knows that person. And you're kind of shocked. It's like, oh my God, how did that happen? How did that happen? Well, the answer is pretty simple, isn't it, Liz?
Yeah, it really is. It's whatever your predominant energy is, whatever your predominant feeling is, that's how your life is going to look. And that relates to, we'll call it a level of consciousness. If you're down in the shame, blame, guilt, you know, apathy, anger, that kind of level, that equates to a level of awareness. So to put that in layman's terms, what it means is that what you see and what you experience is equal to that predominant feeling or emotion. My brother was one of these. He could not go to a restaurant without his meal being messed up. And then we would hear about that restaurant for a week. And it was constant. It was nonstop. You knew it was always going to happen. It reminded me of, you know, Pigpen from Charlie Brown.
Oh, yeah.
You see little Pigpen, and as he moves around, there's these, I always call them reek marks. Like he's reeking, like he's dirty, and it's just this cloud around him. My brother just reeked of screw up my meal. You know what I mean? It was in his field. It was in his aura. It was constant. And so it's one of those things that no one loves to hear, that the problem is not really the restaurant, that the problem is really you. And that predominant feeling of expectation, you start to look for those things, those problems, you start to expect them, but you think it's everybody else's fault and you never look inside. And so the work that Bill and I do is really all about this, that we know we can change the pattern from the inside, our hormones, our chemicals, and our electricity all really influence everything that happens around us. It's kind of a big topic, but it's the truth. And we know that you know, this is how it goes. If you're having not a one-off problem, but a persistent problem, you know, you got that thing running somewhere in the background, draining your energy and really giving you those little reek marks like Pigpen has of whatever that problem is.
You know, it's so true. It's so true. You know, and you know, what I always found annoying about it was like, oh my God, here we go again.
Yeah.
Wah, 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 wah. And you know, just, it's such the downer, you know, and it always seemed to like follow the exact same pattern with the exact same person.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, gosh, that's the weirdest thing. You know, if you get around them, things are going to go bad on you. There's going to be a fight. There's certain people you get around them and it's like, you know, everything's really good. And then, oh my God, how did that happen? Oh my God, there's a fight.
You're not wrong. It is the weirdest thing. Now we know what it is. You and I do, and cognitive movement practitioners and people who use cognitive movement know. But we all have that person and we're looking at and thinking, why do they keep doing that? Why don't they make a change? I knew someone who kept having the same relationship over and over again, but a different person for 30 years. It was exactly the same pattern in the same time frame. I keep thinking, pick someone different, right? From the outside, you just feel like you're banging your own head against the wall. You can't understand. But now from the inside looking out, what we know is you can't help it. In that a certain emotional state, you're driven to choose the same thing, driven to look for the same thing. And you know, it really does feel to the person like that is their reality and that is the truth because it's what they're experiencing. What we know now is there is a way to help it and there is a way to change that particular pattern. But a lot of people, Bill, if you told them that, it's not the other person. It's not the person you keep choosing. It's not the restaurant. It's you. They really don't want to hear it. Nobody wants to hear that. We really want it to be someone else. Here's the problem. If it's someone else, you're relying on that someone else or the circumstances to change. And they're probably not going to. If you can change it yourself, if it's an inside job and you can change it, then you have all the power. You really, really do to change your circumstances. But you have to get past that hurdle of, you know, I don't want to hear that. Go straight to hell. You know, hearing that this is my fault. I'm a victim of this situation. And so that's a whole nother thing, that victim consciousness as well becomes an issue.
You know, Dr. David Hawkins, you know, that he's the author of Power Versus Force. He very popular. Oprah Winfrey became aware of him. I don't know when. Maybe it was the 90s or so. I have no idea when it happened. Maybe it was the early 2000s. But he developed, you know, something called the levels of consciousness. And kind of an easy way to describe this is that there are these, he calls them a consciousness, which is basically a feeling, right? Mm-hmm. Shame, yeah. And humiliation, guilt and grief, anger, fear, worry, enslavement by like craving type desires, and then trust and acceptance, love, joy, bliss. And these are just simply different feelings, but they are basically a level of understanding that we had come to thus far. It's how kind of my emotional set point, you know, we all go through different periods of time, like grief, You know, well, somebody's going to pass, you're going to lose the job, you know, or you simply graduate from college. You know, if you had a great experience in college, you're going to be grieving the loss. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, my friends and all the good times. Wah, 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 wah. You know, so these are things that will be transitory, right? We're going to have events, and there will be transitory periods that we go through, say grief. But we have kind of a basic set point. And this basic set point, you know, kind of like I've gone through my life worrying or being in anger, you know, maybe you went through your life and you have found mostly I feel shame. It's kind of what I go back to, or regret and guilt. So for each one of us, these different levels, they correspond with an external experience of life. For example, if someone feels guilty, right? And it could be they didn't really do anything, but they were very religious. And they just so happen to sit there in the pews and listen in certain religions. They, you know, welcome sinners. You know, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Be merciful to me. You know, and hence, there's like, you know, you put that person, you know, on the cross there. You like what you did to that nice man? You know, nice work. It was you. So, anyway, you feel guilty. And with that, if that is the predominant level of understanding, there are things that were very clearly defined that you will experience. One of those things that you will experience is self-punishment. You might make some money, but then you lose it. You might find yourself getting into situations in relationships, in business, in property, whatever. And it's like, oh my God, you know, things just collapse all the time for me. Kind of like you talked with Pigpen and the cloud is just like, oh my God, one thing after the next, you know. And I'll tell you the way that you can easily spot somebody who has a tremendous amount of guilt. It's very, very simple. They're the people that are blaming. They will find a way to make you the bad guy or bad girl. There is something underlying that they feel guilty about. You may never know it because it may have happened so very long ago and they don't even know it.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things. It's a classic saying that you can almost always spot a cheater because they're always accusing somebody else of cheating. You know, a spouse who just cannot get off a fear of you cheating probably is a cheater. Mm-hmm. Or they're thinking about it, or they want to. It's in their field. So, you know, it does really hold true. You know, a thief is always accusing other people of being a thief. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's one of those things is if it's a thing you're thinking about the most, and more importantly, feeling about the most, it is going to be ever present in your life. You know, and it feels terrible. It feels terrible if you're in one of these patterns. And if you're awake and aware at all, you're like, damn, why can I not get out of this pattern? Why does this keep happening to me? And it is the thing, Bill, I have to share that I appreciate the most about the work we do is because a singular human can change that for themselves. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And I love it for the people that work with us, that they learn how to recognize their own pattern. That's number one, right? If you don't realize that the pattern is you and happening to you, you cannot change it. So from my perspective, it is the most powerful you can be if you know, wait a minute, this thing that's going on for me is me, and I can do something about it. I can change the way that this thing feels for me. And if I can change the way it feels, it'll change my mind and how I think about it. And when I change how I feel and change my mind, how I think about it, I immediately change the signal I'm emitting. And I'm no longer a match to that thing anymore. So we're up against our first break. Let's hear from our good sponsors. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about how is it possible that you have that much power to shift reality, shift the experience around you. It's actually really interesting. All right, we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living. A people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world. And hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And we are back. Before we get started again, Bill, I want to make sure that everybody knows to go to the UKHealth.com website and vote. The UK Health Awards are happening right now, and you can vote for our favorite and your favorite clean, healthy products, people, and things that will help the rest of the world know about these things and promote them, give them a little shot in the arm. So please go to UK Health Radio, and if you have not already, vote. So, Bill, we were talking about how there is something quite powerful in being able to simply recognize the pattern in yourself. So share with people, how do you start to recognize it? What are the signs? How do you do that to be like, oh God, this is a thing I got going on?
Oh gosh. You know, this is a fairly simple process. But most people will live and die and never self-examine. Most people, according to Dr. David Hawkins, will remain at no more than 5 points off of the consciousness that they were born with. Meaning, and what do I mean by that? Well, he had a logarithmic scale, a mathematical scale that starts at 20 and goes to 1,000. So I'm probably got this particular one, but it's close to correct. Say anger is like 150, and fear is 125. So in a given lifetime, someone will typically, let's say my predominant level of understanding was 125, which is fear, it'll go to 130. So this is a very, very small change when you look at the overall picture of 1,000, you know, points possible.
So would that mean that really they've just bumped a little bit out of fear? Just maybe a little less. And what we're really talking about is that thing that most people don't really change. So you stay sort of the same with the same attitudes and the same feelings and the same everything for a lifetime. And then maybe you have an epiphany, or you read a book, or you learn something. Something changes big in your life and it gives you a lesson. And you might jump up a little bit. You might learn something more and move on. And so that's what he was talking about, that traditionally, historically, that's kind of the way people are. And we know something different that has changed now. But tell people how would they even know they're at that level of anger? Like, how would they recognize themselves to even begin?
You know, it's so it's such an interesting thing. Okay, so when you look at your life and you look at yourself, you know, all the way back into your childhood, and you look at yourself now, are you basically the same person? You remember when you were 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, you know, 18, 20, you know, do you feel basically like, it's about me? I got this kind of general me. And when you're in this, it's like a fish in water. It's very difficult to recognize until you have a couple of tools. You know, you don't see anything, another way of being, because you simply are and there's no way out. If I am in fear, that's been my standard worry state, then I see that there's things to be worried about in the news or wherever, or as I go out for a walk. And that is just going to be me thinking I'm seeing reality. It's clearly true.
Well, and about the news, you might be the person who seeks out the news to have something to be worried about. Like, it scratches that itch for you. You're going to look to see what is there to be afraid of today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to look for the evidence to support your feeling. The first thing here is to notice that there's a feeling. Like, I have a feeling in my body, and if I was to describe it, it's so familiar, and it feels like worry. Now, if you look back in your life, throughout your life, how have things gone? How did things go for you? Did they all things come together synchronistically, easily? Did you go from one part of your life to the next, almost like wondering, why are things always work out for me? You probably are residing somewhere up where you actually feel love for you. The majority of humanity doesn't. They don't even know what the hell you're talking about the feeling of love. I certainly didn't. It was an accidental discovery for me.
You know, let me interject here for just a second, because like what you're talking about, a person who's always lucky, things always work out for them. My husband's one of those people. And people always say it, things always work out for Scott. And before he knew anything about anything, you know, about manifesting or any of that, he just sort of would choose something and then know it was coming. You know, it was almost like he demanded it from the universe in a way. He just, okay, I pick that and I'm going to wait around till some circumstance changes and I get it. But it doesn't mean that a person who lives in that realm doesn't occasionally have fear or occasionally have grief or occasionally have doubt. But what it means is that they sort of will bump down there for a short period and then bump back up. You know, they have the neurological makeup. And what I mean by that is their hormonal, chemical, and electrical setup allows them to bump back up naturally to that, you know, things always work out for me. And for somebody like him, it sort of is the kind of person he just is. But also he reinforces that experience all the time. So it makes it more and more and more true in his experience. But before he even understood that that's how you recognize where you are, he would just get a certain feeling about a thing and then know it was going to show up.
So it sounds to me like your husband has embodied trust.
Yeah.
He has in certain aspects of his life, he literally embodies trust. Trust is a frequency or a level of consciousness or understanding that is somewhere around the 250 level or so on the Hawkins scale.
Yeah.
And when you start to get up in this neighborhood, there are ramifications of that. It literally produces a different reality. And it sounds nuts. I know your people out there around the world are listening right now. It's like, oh my God, what the hell? Because I am that guy. I would have been probably clicking the radio to move to a different channel because I didn't. That doesn't make any sense until the reality shows up when you change your understanding. And it's weird because you have to, it's like a leap of faith to go from, like, say, fear and anger to trusting. You know, I trust that actually everything's going to work out. And in that, you know, it's really a natural consequence. When we trust, when we're at that level, what happens is relationships improve. People trust you back. And there is less and less resistance. When you go to, for example, a restaurant and you ordered your carne asada plate, you said, hey, no cheese on the beans on the cheese or whatever. Cheese on the beans? Cheese on the beans. And you say, you're kind of like, trust, oh, it's going to show up. It's all going to be fine. Now, the other person we talked about earlier, they have very, very low trust. They can't trust much of anything. And consequently, right, Liz?
They kind of trust that the bad thing is going to happen.
Yeah.
They kind of trust that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way. You know, that's a good way of putting it. They trust that.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to tell everybody, if you really, I know we've talked about the Hawkins scale many times, and it's just something that we use as a reference point, but you can look it up. If you look up Hawkins scale, which is actually not the official name for it, but it'll come up on the computer, or map of consciousness and the word name Hawkins and images, it'll come right up and you can see what we're talking about. So I pulled it up while Bill was talking about neutrality, that 250 level. And it's just an energetic signature. It's just a number that was given, and he had his reasons for doing it. But the number isn't so important. What's important is the life that kind of goes with that level. And Bill's right. It's trust. They sort of live at trust. that things are going to work out for them. You just do. It's okay. It really at neutrality. That's it. It's like, all right, it'll work out. And satisfactory. Like, this is the signature of my husband. He's pretty much satisfied with whatever he has until he puts his mind on something else he would like to upgrade to. And then that happens. And then he's happy with it for a while. And then, you know, he upgrades. But everything's pretty much okay, you know? You're enabled at this level. You have the ability to do it for you. And you know that it's you. So that's the important part about this neutrality place. It's the place, it's your goal. You know, your first goal is this neutral place that you are enabled to change it for you. And he has that attitude, you know, he wants something different. He does something different, you know, but the function is the process that a person at a place of neutrality, they let things go. They release it. They may be upset for a little bit. Somebody hurt their feelings. Somebody, you know, did something to them. Something went wrong in their life. But pretty quickly, they even back out again. And they're on their merry way. So this level, and it's kind of right in the middle of the scale. It's not even a one of the highest consciousness levels. It's right in the middle. It's sort of that gateway for everything else to happen. When you're at neutrality, you do bump down into, you know, guilt or apathy or grief, whatever. But you also have the capacity to bump up into willingness, acceptance, reason, love, joy, bliss, peace, even enlightenment. But if you don't know how to get to that neutral point, it's hard to bump up into those higher ones. And lots of times we do, but we don't stay there. And often there, you might jump up into some real fun in your life, but there'll still be an undercurrent of something lower that wants to like drag you down. It's constantly niggling and trying to get your attention to pay attention to me, pay attention to your grief, pay attention to your guilt, pay attention to your shame, even in the midst of trying to be joyful. So this place, if you can recognize yourself feeling a thing, doing a thing, having that thing happen again, and you know that there's a place of neutrality, these are two things that sort of set you up to start heading that direction. Without the recognition, you can't do it. If you don't recognize, ooh, it's me, I can change it. if you don't do that, you're never really going to be able to change it because you're constantly grasping for an outside source to fix it.
You know, there's one of the things that Dr. David Hawkins talked about at this level, and I'll ask this as a question. You know, since we're talking about trust and neutrality, and he talked about at this level, you experience things like, these people who reside here are always employed. They will, in fact, do jobs, do them well, and they know that they'll always have work because they will do whatever and do it well. And consequently, what happens is because they have this, they end up being the person who, by their very nature, gets promoted. They're looked at that way. I think, and that could be promoted, could be you're self-employed, and mean that means somebody promoted you, you know, and said, this is a good dude, man, you know, get this dude, you know, use this guy. Or you're inside of an organization and they see you as that. Now that represents Scott, right?
Yeah, your husband. It does. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
So you can see here, like, we just picked out a random level and we're just talking about it. But even the subject that we had discussed literally is described. His life is described without knowing squat about him. We can tell you what's going to happen in the rest of his life.
It's true. It's true. Hey, we're up against our next break. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, let's share with people that if they did pull up the Hawkins scale and look at it, how they could recognize where they are. I think that would be good. And then we'll also share with them a way that you can actually have a little lesson on this and where to find it. We'll have it free. It's a little class and how to understand better. So let's hear from our good sponsors and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
All right, we're back, and we're talking about how to, the first step in really changing a real chronic pattern in your life is recognizing it. So we're going to tell you how you could recognize yourself. If you were to look at the Hawkins scale, which like I said, you can pull it up, and I'm going to give you a link here in a minute that you can get a whole class on it from us for free. But here's how you can tell. You would pull up the chart and you would take a look at the listing of things that most represents your chronic state, your most familiar state. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be like this all the time. So let's talk about the level of, let's say, desire, which might seem like a good thing to some people. You want stuff, nothing wrong with that. But at a constant level of desire, you're not necessarily receiving that desire because you're always in a state of wanting. It's like a catch 22. At a level of desire, it's a 125. You're craving things. You want it. You need it. But it doesn't show up. Like, I want it. And this is a thing with manifesting that really is a gotcha for people. I think about the thing, I want it, I'm putting it out there in the universe, but I continue to want it, and I start to crave it, and then I'm disappointed when it doesn't show up. So that's the next part of this, at that level of desire, is disappointment. Are you disappointed all the time, right? But all of us get disappointed in our lives sometimes. But for you, is it more often than not? Are you a person who feels like you just can't get what you want ever? Okay. The next part is that you're sort of denying that there's anything that can help you outside of yourself. You're kind of, it says it's the God view is denying, but you're kind of deny that it's you that's doing it. And
then, yeah, I think the way that Hawkins, the God view is how you see God. You see God as a big person, the white beard that sits on the throne and is denying you what you crave, you know?
You're being denied, right?
You're being denied by God. So, yeah. So your viewpoint, here's an interesting thing. Could you believe it that your view of God actually changes with the level of understanding you have? That is a very curious thing. Down at the guilt or shame, you see God as punitive, meaning he's going, you know what? You know, he invented something for you. It's called H-E-L-L, hell. That's what he invented for you. And in this lifetime as well, you may even see it, things are happening to me because I remember I did this. I did this. So that's why I have this disease.
Yeah. Down there at the level of shame, God, you would see that God despises you. You feel that God despises you. At the level of desire, it's that he's denying you things. He's withholding from you. And then your overall feeling, you know, is enslavement. You feel enslaved. And a person like this will often enslave someone else as well. I was talking to somebody today, one of my clients, who was talking about their partner is like this. They will treat their partner like a slave, you know, and for them, they don't even understand that it feels that way to the other person. There's always the marching orders, you know, always the marching orders without, you know, any kindness or thank you or even asking, would you be willing? And so their life sort of lives at this level of enslavement.
That is such an important thing. You know, many of us, you know, in the United States, there's these different levels of understanding around the world that are predominant. And in the United States of America, there is a lot of consumerism. And so you find yourself like running up your bills, your debt, or, you know, a big mortgage, and then, you know, enslaved to your desire for the house. Enslaved, I have to have this job in order to make this money, and I am literally enslaved to the desire for this house, enslaved to the desire for whatever it might be,
yeah.
And unable to get out, and which consequently doesn't feel very good. You know, I was many years ago, I spent 10 days in Bali, and this was way back, you know, way in the 90s. No, you know, people weren't going to Bali, you know, and in Indonesia, and they were Hindus, and it's called the Land of a Thousand Temples. And it was at the time, you know, I was, you know, I'm not spiritual, not anything, you know, but I got there, and after about several days, it took several days, but all of a sudden, all material wants went away. Everything material I no longer gave 2 cents about, but, you know, back in the United States, I had all the desire, you know, every desire you could materially have, that was me. So anyway, it's very interesting that different levels of awareness or consciousness are actually in different parts of the world as well.
You know, that's really true. I just want to say something about this level of desire, that this will be the unhappy rich person. You know, they say, oh, riches don't make you happy. If you're a person who has in some way found yourself making a lot of money. Maybe you're a really hard worker. You know, maybe you've created something interesting and then you get that money, but you're still craving something more. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting more. Oh, there's a shiny thing that looks good. I think I'll put my sets on that and I'll turn my little scooter in that direction, right? Nothing wrong with that. It's that feeling in the body. And this is the thing we really want to reiterate. Is it this feeling of empty? A person at the level of desire, they never feel filled up. And in fact, when they get the thing they want, they don't enjoy it for any length of time. They're on to the next thing. So you could be a very wealthy person, but still be at the level of desire that doesn't let you enjoy what you've created. So go ahead.
Oh gosh. You know, this, I think you're going to like this one, Liz. Just listening to you talk, for me in the Bali experience, it went away, you know, the desire, but I was thinking about somebody, everybody knows Mick Jagger. He had a song, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction."
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I try. Well, he was talking about this level of consciousness, this desire for it. And, you know, it finally hit me. He wasn't in his heart. He wasn't in his heart because contentment, satisfaction, when your heart is open, that naturally emerges.
Yeah, it's true. So we want you guys to actually be able to know a little more about this and understand what happens when you can change these predominant levels. We have a free class. It is called the MOLE, actually. Tell them what MOLE means, Bill, because I've lost
it. It's a map of levels of awareness. Map of awareness levels.
Yeah. You can find it at CognoMovement, CoGNO, and the word movement.com /Gaia, GAIA. CognoMovement.com /Gaia. And it is an amazing class. I think you guys will absolutely love learning about these levels, but how they relate to you and how they can change your life. And at the end of that video, there is an invitation to our biggest event of the year, which is called CognoConscious, where we literally take you through each of these steps to create massive change. Those 4 points that Dr. Hawkins was talking about, that's obliterated. People's lives change dramatically because, like we said in the beginning, your electromagnetic hormonal setup, your physiology is now different. And your predominant level of feeling, which equals your consciousness, is changed dramatically. So we want you guys to have this class. We want you to have at least the understanding of this, so that you are one of the small percentage of people on the planet who knows that you can change. And the light bulb turns on about how, here's a hint, it's CognoMovement. All right, Bill, we have come to the end of the show. This was a great one. Thanks for sharing this idea with everybody today.
Thank you all. Thank you, Liz.
All right, everybody, until next time, be safe and be well, and we'll see you again next week.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.